Sport. Grandstand Cricket.
There you go.
That's it for the day.
You can hear the bells.
And that is Stumps.
This is Grandstand at Stumps.
On ABC Radio.
ABC Sport Digital Radio. And the ABC Listen app.
Day two of the third test at Adelaide Oval, and the forecast top was 39. The daily maximum exceeded 40 and hovered above 40 for most of the day. And despite the hot temperatures and the long day in the dirt, it was the bowling team that was on top of the batting team for most of the day. And by Stumps, England limped their way to 8 for 213. 8 for 213, more than 60 overs into the innings. Stokes crawling along, 45 not out of 151 balls. And Archer adding some support towards the back end of the innings. He's 30 not out of 49. England still 158 runs behind in the Test match after Australia were able to muster 371 all out in their first innings early on the second day. Welcome to Grandstand at Stumps. My name's Corbin Middlemass on the Boundary's Edge. Alongside me, Stuart Clark and Jason Gillespie, former Australian fast bowlers. Dizzy, it was tough going for England. Felt like they had their backs against the rope for most of the day.
Yeah, it certainly was tough going for England, and the reason for that is the Australians were so disciplined with their lines, so disciplined with their lengths. That was the fast bowlers. And then we had Nathan Lyon. We had an attacking and defensive spinner going at about 2.5 and over, which is exactly what England didn't have. Will Jacks bowled, I suppose, 20 overs yesterday. And, went it over 5 and over. So, full credit to the Aussies today.
Quick thoughts, Stu?
Oh, look, Aussies stuck at it. England are a little bit confused with their tactics. I'm confused with Ben Stokes' tactics. You know, we talk about baseball and teeing it up and playing aggressive. He scored 45 of 150 balls. So what's it good enough for all the top order to go out and slog and throw their wickets away, yet he can just block them? I don't get it. I'm confused. But that said, well done to him. He guts it out. That's the way the game should be played to some extent. But you can't have one rule for him and one rule for everyone else.
We got so much to pick apart. We'll get into all of that. Bo Webster joins us from the Australian cricket team. Bo, you found yourself out there in the heated stages today, despite not being part of the 11. How hot was it?
Yeah, it was hotter in the dugout, I think. The boys were battling in there, but no, it was a hot day out there, and we got through unscathed and had a pretty good day.
Team seemingly on top in the Test match, 8 for 213 in response to the Aussies' 371. How do you view it at Stumps on day two?
Like you said, a good day for us to get those 8 wickets. Still need to get 2 more, which I'm sure the boys will be pretty keen to wrap it up in the morning after a hot one today, and then we get batting again on a pretty good surface, and hopefully we can pile into some runs and set up a big chase.
Bo, I noticed you went on with for Cameron Green when a ball went to gully and it went to his left hand. He's got some tape on his hand. Is he okay?
Yeah, he's fine. I think he just wore one in the last test when he's bowling, and it just gets a bit sore whenever he throws that big mid of his out and cops one on there. It's a bit of a stinger and comes off, maybe a couple of painkillers here and there, but he's fine.
What about within the team and all the DRS controversy, mate? There's been a little bit, and has he hit it, has he not hit it? What's the talk within the rooms?
Yeah, it's it is what it is at the moment, isn't it? It's one of those things that just happens. It's a bit above my pay grade, I think, of what's happening with the umpires and the RTS and all that stuff. But I suppose you can only just, you got to get on with it, don't you? At the end of the day, there's no point sitting here and discussing it. You got to move on. Like we said, we got to try and take these 2 wickets quick in the morning.
Does it make it hard to make a decision as to whether you're going to review things with perhaps not having as much faith in the technology as what you'd hoped?
You probably should be asking Paddy that one if he was standing here. I've probably got absolutely no idea, and I'd stay well out of it if he asked my opinion. But yeah, it's just one of those things that, you know, it's the same for both teams, and I'm sure the captains and the coaches are talking about it and trying to come up with what's best.
We always love having you on ABC Sport. You're not in the 11 here. You haven't played in the series so far. What sort of clarity have you had about how you get back into the 11 from the selectors?
It's just one of those things, isn't it? We've got 11 very good players playing at the moment, and I can't find my way in there, which is just part of it. You know, I'll keep doing everything I can off-field and trying to help the boys out here. We've had a great start to the series, and hoping this one goes our way and we can wrap it up. But, as disappointed as I am, I'm here, I'm enjoying it. There's no place I'd rather be than a part of an Ashes series. So whatever I can do to help, I will.
So when the batting spot became available in the second test, Josh Inglis got that, and he left the group to go and play the tour game over in Perth. that there's an old adage that, you know, sometimes the worst place to be is around the team. You're not off playing anywhere else or getting the chance to impress. Is it? How do you deal with that, being around the team and not actually playing other competitive cricket?
Yeah, something I'm probably pretty new to, but, you know, something I'm dealing with at the moment. It's, like I said before, there's no place I'd rather be than around the Australian Test team. You know, I'm still learning every day. It's bloody fun. It's enjoyable to be around here and watch the boys go about their work. There's no doubt I'd love to be out in the middle. I think everyone knows that, but, you know, you can only have 11 players out there, and at the moment I'm not one of them. So I'll be doing everything I can to help the lads and try and do everything I can to get a game in the last two.
And, Bo, what's been the feedback from the boys out there back to the dugout about the surface?
Yeah, they said at the start it was relatively slow back of a length. There was still a bit of nip if you pitched it up. I think that's why you saw us go pretty full today, especially early with a new ball before we probably dragged it back and tried to restrict them on the scoreboard. We know a lot of their guys like to play their shots, so having that long off to Brook and a few of the fields there to Stokes and trying to cut their scoring down and make them do something they don't want to do is probably how we have to get wickets on a pretty nice to bat surface. So there was some feedback that it was enough there if you pitched it up with a new ball, and then it was going to be a bit of a grind and let Nathan go to work at one end and keep the boys fresh.
Hey, old school 12th man used to have a good time. What does the 12th man do?
Certainly not anymore. Concussion subs and all sorts now. So I feel like if I'd smacked six beers in the night before and then someone gets hit in the head, it wouldn't be a great place to be. So very well behaved at the moment.
Good on you, Bo. We'll let you run. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, boys.
Bo Webster from the Australian cricket team with us at Stumps on day two. 8 for 213 is the stump score. That's England crawling along, having faced, 68 overs. 68 overs for 8 for 213. What happened to the Baz ballers? Where's their identity gone?
Well, I think they're caught between two ways of playing now. There's been criticism. They haven't been able to adjust their game, adapt their game to conditions, surfaces. And it looks to me like they've tried to do that. So now that they probably get some criticism for not being attacking enough. So I think, and not sticking to their blueprint. So I think they're caught between what they believe in, what they want to do, and adapting to play on this surface. I don't know what you think, Stu, but that's how it appears to me.
Well, I think some of them are. I think, but I'm looking at the scoreboard. Harry Brook, 45 off 63. Well, okay, that's sort of, it's not Baz ball, runner ball type stuff, but it's still pretty good.
Yep.
Archer, 30 off 48. They were none for 37 after about eight overs, so they were going along very quickly. The guy that slowed down is Stokes. He's just batted time, 45, and maybe that's because of the game. They've lost so many wickets. Maybe
you're not happy with that, are you?
I don't get it. We talked about Baz ball and teeing it up, but it seems like everyone else plays Baz ball and he doesn't. And he's the captain. He's the leader of the ship. Now, him and McCullum, Brendan, have come up with the concept of attacking positive cricket. That's not. And I'm only going purely stats. Now, maybe that's the situation of the game. They've lost a couple of wickets, and he feels as though if he gets out, well, the game, they're pretty much gone. But if you just play the game forward, they're not scoring it. Playing what he's doing at the moment, he's soaking up a lot of balls, really good. But I think he's better than that. He can actually knock it around in the gaps. Ben Stokes is a world-class cricketer. And to be fair, he's better than 45 off 151 balls. And I don't think he's showing his true potential.
So, I mean, the counter-argument would be, well, if more players batted like Stokes, maybe they'd be in a better position than they are currently in the Test match, 8 for 213.
That's okay. I don't have a problem with that. But you can't come out and talk about your strategy being attacking positive cricket and then seven blokes do it and one bloke doesn't.
And when we're not going to change our blueprint. I mean, that was all the messaging that was coming out of the squad in Brisbane. Remember, after the first test at Perth, they said, we're not changing our blueprint, we're not pivoting, we're not going to do this. We trust our methods, we believe in our blueprint. And, yeah, I'm with Stewie. That's a bit perplexing.
So if you're a top-order batter, okay,
yep,
and you've been told that we want you to go hard and take the game on, and you're happy to go out and score a run of ball, but you know it's risky. You're going to drive on the up, and you're going to accept. Are you happy that Stokes doesn't do that as well? Like, there's got to be some. If you, and especially when you're not winning. When you're winning, people will go, it is what it is. You're not winning. People are going to start asking questions. Why am I personally putting my game on the line? But the captain doesn't have to. And I'm worried that's going to happen at the end, because there's already talk about the English team. And, you know, you listen to Ali talk and the media and, you know, what's going to happen with McCullum, what's going to happen with Stokes, what's going to happen with Rob Keyes. All these different conversations are going on. Well, that's because they're not winning and it's because the styles are confused.
So stumps 8 for 213 after 68 overs, 158 behind in the test match. England stumps day two. What was a really hot day. If you look at the mode of dismissals, so we talked a bit about this at stumps last night, 6 of the 7 that were out caught in the Australian card were caught in front of the wicket. And look at the England card today. Kerry took 5 catches, all from Nicks.
And the exact reason for that is the lines and lengths that the Australians have bowled compared to the English. But yeah, it's a real difference, Corby, between the lines and lengths that the two teams have bowled. And Australia have shown England how to bowl on this surface. I think with the Australians, the massive advantage that Australia have, Stewie, is that they've got a spinner who can attack and defend. Whereas England, they have a part-time spinner who can't defend, can't control the run rate. Yes, he picked up a couple of cheap wickets, but he's not going at two and a half and over.
Nathan Lyon's got 563 test wickets now, whatever it may be. So he's world-class, isn't he? So that's a massive difference for him. And you're 100% correct.
England were none for 37, as outlined. They then lost 3 for 5. That's been a all too familiar refrain throughout the series so far. So Crawley went for 9, nicking Cummins off. And then Nathan Lyon struck twice in the same over. He got rid of Ollie Pope to draw equal with Glenn McGrath. And then he went past him on the all-time Australian test wicket takers list. So Pope out for 3, caught at mid-wicket. And then Duckett clean bowled for 29. It was a good way for Lyon to bring it up. They lost Root early in the second session for 19. He fell to Cummins again. 12th time in his test career. More than any other bowler, Joe Root has been dismissed by Pat Cummins. And then late in the session, after a whole lot of hard work and almost 20 overs together, Harry Brook left Ben Stokes. He was out for 45. He was nicking green through to the keeper. And so he departed just before the tee break. And then in the last session in the extreme heat, we had some DRS controversy. The first man to go was Jamie Smith. He was involved in 2 different incidents close by each other. He was caught nicking through eventually off the bowling of Cummins, out for 22. Will Jacks came and went. He got an inside edge onto the body, and with the keeper, Carey, up to the stumps, it bobbled up and he was able to take the catch off his body. Carey went for 6, and then Brighton Cass was out for a 5th ball duck. He was bowled by Scott Boland. So they're the 8 guys to have gone, and at stumps, Stokes not out 45 off 151, and Archer 30 not out off 48. 8 for 213, England trail by 158.
Yeah, no, look, I looked through down that batting order and how the England players have gone about their work. Harry Brook got 45 off, 63 balls. Mm. I actually think he found the perfect balance between the baseball, if you want to call it, attack and defence and playing the situation. He scored at a decent clip, but I think that's his blueprint how to play. And each of the players have a slightly different way of going about it. And I reckon going forward, if this team wants to progress and then improve and get better, I think Harry Brook played all right today. He got a really good delivery. There's no question of that. It just straightened and he got the edge. And that can happen in Test cricket. But I think that's the blueprint for how he can play. I think he's one of the best players in the world, quite frankly. But some of the others, Smith came out. It was hard work for him at times. And I think Pat Cummins bowled beautifully to him. But yeah, I wouldn't be too critical of Harry Brook.
I agree. I thought he batted really well today. Probably the best he's looked in the whole series. Yeah. As you said, found a nice meeting point between all-out attack and all-out defence, and batted really well. And look, to be fair, I'm looking at that order, right? Joe Root, he's worked out his game. He knows how to play. He's world-class. Duckett seems to want to go hard. Crawley said, Pope's horribly out of nick. You know, the shot he played today, chipping one to mid-wicket, you can see what he was trying to do, but he just doesn't look like he's got the ability to do that at the moment. He's still a good player. Maybe we're not giving the bowlers enough credit. I thought Paddy Cummins was excellent. Like, he was really, as for a guy that hasn't played for 5 months.
But first, our colleague from the BBC, Henry Moran, is with Marcus Trescothick.
Well, Marcus Trescothick on the boundary edge, what do you make of what we've seen today?
Another tough day. Obviously in the heat here, obviously some of the guys fought really well. Obviously Ben's innings, sort of re-digging in and sort of lasting out the day and sort of surviving as long as he could. Obviously struggling a little bit with cramp because of the heat. But again, we're behind the game a little bit. Obviously Australia bowled well and put us under pressure. And, you know, we've got a bit of work to do tomorrow to try and find a way to, you know, get into a total that we're happy with or feel like we can then compete in the second innings and then work out the game from there.
There are many that say, how's this happened? This is an England team that were expected to come to Australia and really compete, and despite the different methods, the different plans, the different ways of trying to get into matches, the same failings time and again.
Yeah, you know, I know we've talked about it before, as the fact that we haven't been good enough for long enough, potentially, in certain games or certain periods. I thought, you know, Australia's bowling on that pitch today was, you know, was pretty good, and I thought the way they went about it, obviously Nathan Lyon was into the game early and got a couple of early wickets. And we just, you know, we're working at it hard and we're trying to do and find solutions and work at ways of doing it. We've just got to be better for longer and keep sustaining our approach and our attitude to what we're trying to do.
And what is that approach and attitude?
Well, I think you can see, you know, in different ways that we've trying to adjust and read situations. We're always trying to be positive. We're always trying to apply pressure back into the game and get ahead of games and put ourselves in the front seat. And sometimes you have to adapt, and you can see the way that Ben has played today, and obviously he's decided to play in that fashion and dug in and tried to sort of scrap through. Other times we're aggressive and we try and put opposition on the back foot.
Ollie Pope's dismissal looked like a man devoid of confidence. Where's his game at the moment?
Yeah, I don't think it's quite at that point where he's devoid of confidence. I think, you know, he's obviously really disappointed. Didn't get the runs he wanted to get and found it tough. But it kind of goes like that. If you get a couple of low scores, obviously the pressure sort of comes on, and we appreciate that's what it's like. But, you know, he'll still work hard overnight or come back tomorrow, come with a game plan of thinking about the second innings. And then try and put that into place and try and get some runs there.
Again, the technology has been a big discussion point. What have you made of it?
Well, interesting, of course. I think there's many things that have happened over the couple of days. We're kind of in the position that we are where we are with it, and it's not something that we can really dwell on. Of course, it's not been ideal. You're never really quite sure what's going on, but at the end of the day, you've got to sort of put your trust and your faith in what the umpires decide and the match referees decide, and then if that's wrong or if it's different and we're unhappy with it, then the powers that be behind the scenes can obviously make that decision. But it's not ideal. The one in the first innings with Alex Carey, it is what it is, and these unfortunate things do arise in different series along the way. But we're trying to just remain as focused as we can on the boys, trying to keep them in the right frame of mind with the job that we've got to do, and let the rest of it sort of look after itself.
Is it good enough for a major series like this?
I think you always want consistency with whatever that technology is. You know, there's so many people talk about, well, we should have this type of technology or this technology, we should use this company. I don't think we're really attuned to knowing what's the right way to do it. You know, we're cricket coaches, cricket players. And at the end of the day, like I say, we just want consistency in whatever that is. And if we get that right, then the game is going to be better for it.
Many people said this was the defining game of this era of English cricket in Test matches. At the moment, it's not going England's way. I mean, what's the feeling in that dressing room?
Oh, of course, you know, we understand that we're behind the game again, you know, and understandably that, you know, you feel disappointed, but you know, we're still in the game and we're still fighting for as long as we can. And Ben has played well, Joff has played really nicely there, the ball's soft. What have they got, another 10-11 overs I think with this ball before we get the second new ball? So, you know, we'll keep working, we're still fighting, it's not dead and buried just yet.
Just finally, there's a lot of England fans that have paid a lot of money, made long journeys, shown a lot of commitment to this England side for this Ashes series. What's your message to them, because there'll be some very disappointed fans,
I'm sure, and it's never easy, obviously. You know, obviously watching us lose, and you know, we feel it as much as anybody else, but my feeling is still the same. You know, we're really appreciative of the support we get from everybody that come over here and watch it. It's a wonderful place, and the series have been brilliant with all the crowds and everybody sort of spectator. Of course, we're disappointed as everybody else is that we've not quite hit the mark that we wanted to. Hopefully we can still do our best and still keep working at that to try and put smiles on their faces.
Marcus, thanks for your time.
Cheers.
Marcus Driscothic, the assistant coach of the England cricket team, alongside Henry Moran a short time ago down here on the boundary's edge. This is Grandstand at Stumps, Corbin Middlemouse alongside Stuart Clark and Jason Gillespie. Just repeating that Stump score, so 8 for 213. England still trailing the Test match by 158 runs. Now, the controversy, as it was late yesterday, is again late today. The DRS, and in particular the Snicko. There were two incidents, both involving Jamie Smith in the final session, that sparked the debate again. Here's how it sounded on ABC Sport during the day.
Cummins goes again, and it's popped as the slip, and it's taken, has it? Australia appealing, or Cummins hasn't even turned round to appeal yet. It was a rearing delivery. Smith up on his toes to try and fend it. The ball has ballooned to slip.
We have an umpire review for fair catch.
So this is not a player review. This is the umpires checking simply for fair catch.
It's definitely at the glove.
Good old Snicko again.
This is really interesting.
He got out or out?
Snicko needs to be sacked. That's the worst technology there.
Well, the player's not happy with the technology. It's come out not out. From what that conversation we heard, sounds as if the determination was that the ball's in fact come off the helmet. Yet that's based on the Snicko evidence. Cummins in, short ball, he's gone to pull it away. Now Carey this time thinks that was a nick on it. Cummins is also appealing.
Here we go, they're just going up.
And now the umpires will come together again.
And this is what happens when you don't trust the technology.
Well, this is another umpire review.
They're losing control.
The world is going mad!
The world's going mad. I think that was Travis Head, possibly.
It's turning into a bit of a joke.
That one frame after spike equates to Smith having hit it. And he's shrugging his shoulders almost, as to say, well, what do we know? On the big screen, it's out.
It's a joke, though.
Snicko takes the wicket.
Confidence in the system had an all-time low. So two different incidents. The first one involving Smith. Well, they both involved Smith. But the first one was caught by Usman Khawaja in the cordon. The first question was, did it come off the glove or did it come off the helmet? Certainly hit the helmet. Did it hit the glove first? And then the second question was, did it carry? Ultimately, it was given not out and Jamie Smith was able to continue on with his innings.
Yeah, look, well, looking at the pictures, and we all watched the pictures, it clearly hit his glove and then hit his helmet. I'm not sure what they said about catching it. I think they said he did catch it, but it didn't hit his glove, so it wasn't out, so it wasn't a catch. Snicko, if they look purely at, and this is the bit I'm not sure at, if you're looking at the footage, you can see his glove move as the ball goes past. So it's hit his glove. Then it's hit his helmet. But if you looked at the Snicko, because it's out of whack and the noise is coming at the wrong time, didn't sort of line up. So they used that over what they actually saw with their eyes.
So this is the problem, that they have so much faith in Snicko that they basically get told, no matter what you see with your eyes, you must follow what happens with the sound wave. So if there's a spike, you must give it out. If there's no spike, you must give it not out.
That can't be a good position to be in, though, when you can't use your eyes.
Particularly when you've got the guys who run the system basically said less than 24 hours ago there was a human error and basically we mucked it up. You've got an assistant coach in David Saker of the England team saying there's been problems throughout the series so far. So maybe the process is wrong, that if we're putting all the faith in this one particular, like, it, surely it can support the decision-making process, but the fact that it's the sole arbiter has led us into this position where now all of a sudden we're doubting the one piece of technology that we're relying on more than our own eyeballs. We're relying on what happens on this sound wave.
I think no one would be able to agree, because if you say to the umpires you've got to use the technology and base your decisions on the Snicko, and what we're seeing is that Snicko's not right, and then you go back and say, okay, use it to aid your decision making, but don't make it the be all and end all, then there's just more grey areas, isn't it? So for me, it's very simple. Let's get the technology right. Let's get the best technology available. And for me, I'm staggered that the ICC doesn't take responsibility for this, to keep it test cricket consistent all around the world.
Well, I think the ICC, if they don't want to pay for it, and it'll be an issue of cost, right? What they need to do is they need to mandate the minimum standard of RTS, DRS, whatever you want. And they say, well, for you to use... Because there'd be numerous providers that provide this system, I would have thought. Maybe there's two, I think. But they've all got slightly different nuances to what they actually provide. No, this is the minimum standard. So if you're going to use it in your series, which you must, then you need to use a system or a provider that provides A, B, C, D, and E to remove the conjecture that's going around.
Do you think they have that at the moment already?
No, I think they just say you've got to provide it.
Right.
And I'm not privy to the TV deal, but I don't think it's specified. It's a bit like hotspot, right? They could come out and say, we must use hotspot, or you must provide hotspot in every test series, or you must not provide hotspot in test series. But you need to make it uniform for everyone. You can't have half the countries doing it.
That's my point.
And you can't do that. Yeah. It's just, this is the minimum standards for test cricket.
And ultimately, the dismissal in which he was out wasn't conclusive either. There was a sound wave, but between frames, it looked like he didn't hit it. And ultimately, he had to go on 22 on what was not a great day for the DRS overall.
If Jamie Smith goes to the press conference tonight and says, A, I did hit it, off my glove, the one off his head and his helmet, and said, "No, B, I don't. That's going to throw a cat amongst the people. I don't know who's doing the press. I'm pretty sure it's not Jamie Smith, yeah. But that will just send us all into meltdown, won't it?"
Stumps here, 8 for 213. England still trailing the test by 158 runs after a hot day at Adelaide Oval, and the Aussies on top in the test match. As they are in the series, England must be winning here to keep the series alive. How about this as a stump score across the ditch in Mount Maunganui, New Zealand, 1 for 334. They put on 323 for the first wicket. The big bash tonight, just after 7 o'clock Eastern, of course, first ball, you'll hear the Stars up against the Hurricanes. Catch it through the ABC Listen app and on ABC Radio in Victoria and Taz. Thank you, gentlemen, for your company. We'll catch you all tomorrow back here at Adelaide Oval for Day 3.